welcome to Saving Animals with Blank Park Zoo. I'm Ryan Bickle. On today's show, we have Mark Vukovic, CEO and president of Blank Park Zoo. Welcome to the show, Mark.
Thank you for having me.
What I thought we'd do today is just sort of wrap up 2018 and talk about things that have happened here at Blank Park Zoo, and then maybe give a preview of 2019, if
Great.
That's all right with you. Could you give us some highlights of 2018?
Well, of course, we had lion cubs in 2017, and they grew rapidly in 2018. They went from being 2 pounds and 10 ounces at birth to, by the end of the year, they were in the 175-pound range, and yet they're still like little kittens. They rough house play, and it's been a great addition to our zoo, having them out every day for people to see. So that would be, I think, one of the most exciting things. We have finished our loop pathway, our 50th anniversary pathway. So now you don't have to backtrack when you go to see rhinos or go to see the Watusi. It's a loop that runs clear around both the giraffe exhibit. So you have a 360-degree view of the giraffe yard. And that was nice. And then that, of course, let us have the pathway to the new giraffe barn that gave us indoor giraffe viewing, which is the first time since 1966 you've been able to see the giraffe inside up close year-round. And on selected occasions, you can feed the giraffe all winter long, too, when we have people in that facility to do that. So that was a highlight. At our zoo, we have tried in the last 10 years to add indoor experiences. We're open year-round, and we'd like you to come out, and we understand that a 50-yard walk in the cold's one thing, a quarter-mile walk in the cold's another. And just to recap, we have now the Discovery Center with the rainforest, the aquarium, the bats, and various other interesting exhibits. You then can go to sea lion and go down into a heated space and have underwater viewing of the sea lions. Penguin and tortoise both have indoor warm viewing of Barnaby and his friends and our penguin group. Then you can go out to rhino, and they're kind of cold sensitive, so you can see them inside year-round. And then finally, you can go to the giraffe building and go into the day room of the giraffe yard. Draft building, and we have a yard there that they are in, and you can see them inside in the winter too. So all these things have made us more of a year-round institution, and so come out and see us this winter. It's not just what we did in 17, but a combination of what we've done for the last 4 or 5 years to get numerous indoor experiences. We'll have popcorn and hot chocolate on the weekends and do some fun things too, so we'd love to have you come. When it comes to other things that we did, Zoo Brew is one of our biggest successes, and we had a few more of those this year than last. We had one at Halloween, and we had a makeup Zoo Brew for a rainout. And to make the music better and still have it be a great experience, we moved the music to the Zooplex, the big white barn, as we call it, so you could sit and have more seating available to listen to the music, yet you could still wander and sample beers and wine and see the zoo. And depending on the band, you could still even hear the band when you were down at Sea Lion. And so that gave us more room for people that were interested in music, and actually spaced out the crowd so people that wanted to go to the exhibit to see the animals had more room to do that. So that was an experiment that went well, and we will do that again probably next year. So those are some just quick updates along those lines. We have had a lot of babies. We've had baby attics and baby slenderhorns, and of course the lions just came late last year. We have 2 baby otters that are going to be out in exhibit soon. And we, of course, always have baby wallabies and those kind of animals.
Along the conservation front, in the springtime, we had 3 conservation speakers, and Ian Nichols, Susie Lewis, and Michelle Miller. And Michelle Miller, if you remember, she was the person that was from Africa helped conserve anything big and gray,
yeah,
as you would say. Yeah. Do you remember her talk, or what stuck out about those 3 talks that you remember that
One of the big gray animals she works with is rhinos, and just what was going on in Africa with the rhino population. That you go down to South Africa, where Kruger National Park is the largest national park in the world. It's protected by anywhere from 30 to 70,000 troops, and even with that, the rhinos are being killed and poached faster than they're being born. The loss ratio versus the birth ratio is getting closer, but at the rate, it's still, they're losing more rhinos in a year than they're being born to replace them. And that's a scary thing. You know, all the rhino populations of the world are under stress. Obviously, the eastern black rhino that we have at our zoo only has 800 left in the wild. There's only maybe 5,500 black rhino species of all the black rhinos. And for some unknown reason, we can't seem to get the world to understand that the horns aren't worth anything, and it's just fingernail tied in a twist and does nothing when you either drink it or eat it or smoke it or use it as a potion on your skin. But we are still losing that battle. And their optimism that things are getting better. The depressing part was that things aren't getting better fast enough to keep the rhinos from being extinct if we don't do something.
And then when you talk about babies earlier, you were talking about the lion cubs. And Tumani, who was born a couple years ago, turned 2 this year. And I just saw a video yesterday that's up on our social media sites of her getting a bath. And to compare that to the first bath when she was 80 pounds to now nearly 1,700 pounds, it's really quite something.
It is amazing how fast animals grow. Of course, when you think about evolution and what has to happen, the slower an animal matures into an adult, the more likely it is to be either eaten, killed, or left behind. And so you take the lions, for example, 2 pounds, 10 ounces, and in a year they're 180 pounds and look like large cougars. It's really amazing how quick animals in the wild grow to survive.
Yeah, the male Jabari is already getting his mane a little bit in if you look up close.
It's very cute. It's not manly yet. It's just cute.
Yeah, it's just cute right now. And we discovered this year that the SSP said you're going to have to hold these lions for a while. So we did some improvements down there to be able to do that.
Yes, we did. We our building always had lions, tigers, and snow leopards. And we've had not much success in breeding snow leopards and determined that possibly it was the snow leopards' close proximity to both lions on one side and tigers on the other, and that we would be better off helping the snow leopard species out, moving the animal to a location where he could breed, and that let us free up that space for lion holding. So since we have 6 animals, 3 adults and 3 young ones, and the young ones quickly becoming adults, we've converted the snow leopard space into lion holding, and we actually took down all the snow leopard netting, which was designed for 80-pound snow leopards that could hold onto the net and climb, to 400-pound lions, so it would be the proper caging for the lions. And now we have a large yard in our new snow leopard yard, which is a lion yard, and we have three more holding stalls. So when our male deuce and the 2 females don't get along, or our male and his younger son have issues, we can separate, move animals around, give them more space to be outside. And I think long-term for the welfare of the lions, it's a wonderful thing. And hopefully moving our snow leopard out will give him a chance to breed somewhere else.
And it was interesting to have a harbor seal baby this year as well.
He was a little ball of fat is what he was.
He was just like a blob, right?
Just like a blob. As wide as tall, he was tall. But, you know, it's amazing. He has grown immensely, but it doesn't take him but a very short period of time, and they're in the water sailing around the pool just like they were an adult. So, and he's been a great addition to that. They're all active. Even old sea lions have been active, swim a lot, and engage the audience. But having this 4-month-old or 6-month-old now young one, if you go into the underwater viewing, he loves to come up to the window and peer in at you. And it's been a great addition because of how active he is.
Yeah, and it's fun to look at pictures. People have been sending us pictures of him coming right up to the window and sort of, you know, want you to take a selfie of him. And so that's a lot of fun to see those pictures on our social media as well. Not everything, you know, life, you know, we try to emphasize the positive, but not everything is is always positive. And even at the zoo, there's some things that happened this year that were sort of sad. And I'm thinking of Lizzie, and you want to talk about Lizzie.
Well, it is the circle of life, like in The Lion King. Animals are biological beings, and they are born, and they grow, and they die. And that's just one of the things that happens. And this year, we had a lot of wonderful things, but we had a young giraffe that was 18 months old that died suddenly. And doing an ecopsy, which is the animal version of an autopsy, she had some organ issues that were never right from birth that led her, when the rest of them got a mild infection and had diarrhea, her system wasn't strong enough to fight it off, and she died. She was adorable and cute and engaging with the public, and you're talking about zookeepers that spend 40 and 50 hours a week with these animals, and you know, we all have pets that we see at night or on the weekends, and you imagine how hard that is for you to lose that kind of pet, and you have an animal that you spend 40 or 50 hours a week with. It's really tough emotionally on both our visitors that come back and the animals. We lost a eland this year, and I think a slender horn, and it's just one of those things that happens in wildlife. And we have two vets, three vet techs, and a partnership with Iowa State Veterinary Medicine, where senior vet students are here. So a lot of these animals get better care than we humans do, and we really watch them very, very closely. And once again, they're animals, and an animal can be healthy at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and be gone the next morning. And it is one of the sad facts of being around a zoo.
One of the big projects that we worked on this year was AZA accreditation. And could you just take us through that process and what was the result of that?
The Blank Park Zoo is a member of the American Zoo Association, AZA. They're the accrediting organization, like doctors have the AMA and dentists and, you know, the CPAs for accountants. And they are an accrediting organization. And every 5 years, they come to your zoo and spend a week with three, four, five individuals, and they're there 10 hours a day. And the manual we turn in is about 3 inches thick, and it covers everything from the temperature of the water that goes into an aquarium to how often you sweep a floor, to whether there's rust on a gate, to the care the animals get, from testing to diet to engagement to outside time to how many animals are per square foot in holding. And it is a very strenuous look at a zoo. And we have spent 3 or 4 months brushing our zoo, getting it just to the perfect level that we could do for when those gentlemen come, and we were reaccredited again for another 5 years. It's an honor. Not all zoos get that honor. And once you're accredited, then that lets you be involved in the AZA and help. You can trade, you can send animals to another zoo for breeding and get an animal back. There's education and conferences to go to, and there's lots of help from them to the zoo and making your zoo more of a conservation-oriented facility.
Speaking of conservation, what are some of the things that we have strived this year to do as far as conservation, sustainability?
We try very hard to be involved both locally, nationally, and globally. We have projects locally, Upstart, where we're helping the Des Moines Parks Department take down forms of honeysuckle and stuff that's invasive species that destroys the native plants. We do Plant Grow Fly, which is our pollinator effort that we're over 1,200 gardens now, from 4-acre gardens at Wells Fargo to two plants on somebody's deck. We all know that the bee population and the monarch butterfly population has crashed due to the lack of habitat for food, and we're helping with that on a national level. We give to 13 or 14 international organizations, the Rhino Association, Giraffe, the Snow Leopard Trust. We also have scholarship our employees to work overseas, and in the last year or two, we've had people in Uganda and Namibia working with giraffe, working with rhinos. We have people even doing things in North America, from down in the Everglades to in the desert. And we really try hard to use our captive population to make the public understand what's happening to the wild population of the world.
So we got probably 12 minutes left, and so let's go back in time a little bit further and take us through that. You started at the zoo in 2009, so take us through all the improvements, maybe just the major ones, and then we'll talk about a little bit about the future.
I started in 2009, and in 2010 ish, we signed an agreement with the city of Des Moines to take over the managing of the zoo, both on a daily basis and on a facility basis. So, in essence, we are in charge of the zoo, and we are responsible for everything that goes on with it on the facility. We have put a new entrance in, rebuilt Australia, our sea lion, our penguin tortoise, all added with indoor viewing. We have added a quarantine barn, so when animals come or leave the zoo, they go there to make sure they're not sending a bug out or bringing a bug in. We have added a vet hospital, so the Iowa State students have a place to do their internship, and it's made us much more of a professional facility in taking care of our animals. We have added a Watusi barn, so we can bring in more African species, mountain zebras, and some more antelope species. Everywhere around the zoo, everything has been rebuilt or redone. Kids Kingdoms, all the barns in Kids Kingdom have been redone to current standards. We have reworked the lion and tiger areas to provide more space for them. The gibbon building is new for the gibbons and our Eurasian vultures. There's not a part of the zoo that we haven't touched. We have our own butterfly habitat, Iowa native species in our entrance that covers an acre or two around our pond. We have tried to make everything ADA and AZA accessible and accredited per 2018 regulations.
That's a lot of work.
I neglected to say the rhino and eland barns, too.
Sure.
They brought in both the let us bring in the rhino and the largest animal species in Africa, the eland.
What is your favorite exhibit or favorite animal here at Blank Park Zoo?
I have an eclectic taste in animals. I have pals around the zoo. Barnaby the tortoise is one of my favorites. He recognizes my voice when I come into the building, and he's approaching 90 and could live to be 180. And he's smarter than a dog, and he's always fun to go engage. You rub his neck and he stretches out. I like Barnaby. I like Jacoby, the large male giraffe. He and I have a relationship because of how often I'm there, and he always is fun. I mean, he's 16 feet 6 inches tall and weighs 2,500 plus pounds and sticks his chin out to let it get rubbed. I enjoy that. And then one of my favorites are the camels. The camels are Bactrim camels from Mongolia. They were endangered. They're not so much now. They've rebounded from nearly extinction. They are out year-round in a free exhibit at the zoo. They don't... You can come to the zoo and use the heated bathrooms and the playground and watch the camels. They can take 40 below or 120 above. And in the winter, they grow coats like a grizzly bear. So they're just massive. And they love apples. And I take tours and go down and see them and bring an apple. And they always are glad to see me. I always get four or five happy faces. So I suppose those are the animals I like the best. You can't, you know, anything baby is cute, no matter what it is. I'm a scuba diver, so I always stop in and talk to Ross, the male seal, and he and I have kind of a weekly thing going. But everybody has something different. Some people love the wallabies. There are people that, you know, that are cat people that think the tigers and the lions are the most interesting animal we have. From a public point of view, I think our four most popular exhibits, and it depends when we pull and what time of year it is, are the giraffe, the lion, the rhino, and the sea lion. The sea lions are active year-round, so that's fun. No matter what the weather is, they're out and they're about. Obviously, the rhinos are just massive, and their environmental message is so poignant that you can get attached to them. And then there's nothing like a giraffe. So yeah, those are our four probably most favorite exhibits.
And I think the feeding of the giraffe exhibit is the best experience, you know, where you can actually give a piece of lettuce to a giraffe and have that 17-inch long tongue come and get that and take it from you is just something that is very unique to our zoo and zoos in general.
Yeah, when you engage an animal up close, it's always a great experience. And the giraffe feeding's that way, and even our parakeet feeding is kind of fun. We have those Australian parakeets, and for like a dollar, you can go in and hold a stick and have birds eat it, and that's an interesting exhibit too. The giraffe feeding is exceptional, and they eat enough romaine lettuce that they do help pay for their care with the money they raise themselves by eating.
Absolutely. Okay, so we got about 7 minutes left, and I'm wanting to know, what are some of maybe the facility expansions or changes you'd like to see in the next couple years? And then we'll talk about maybe some of the conservation programs you'd like to see happen here at Blank Park Zoo.
Our the plans that are on the drawing board are a new event center. The current event center is the white zooplex that was built 13 years ago with a 5-year warranty. It is not heated or air conditioned, and it limits our ability to have winter weddings and large groups that need air conditioning and small conferences. So the goal is to build an event center that could seat 400 plus people and have some breakout rooms that would do wonders for wedding and business revenue. And and that kind of revenue helps us make the zoo a better place when it comes to conservation and our exhibits. So that would be one. Number two, we think that a preschool at the zoo would be a big hit. Where else could you look out your window or be close to, 1,000 different animals and use those animals to teach kids about science, genetics, stem cell research, and conservation at all ages. You can, whether it's a 3-year-old or a 6th grader, there's a way to use those animals to help you get a message across. We have a couple small exhibits that are still original. We would like to update or replace the lemur exhibit and do some extensive updating to the otter exhibit. We always hope to add other animals. We'd like to add meerkats. They're famous for their Lion King Simone, and they don't take a lot of space, and you can have an indoor winter area where you can watch them dig their holes, and so we'd like to do that. We would like to update and put some more aquariums in around our large aquarium. Then there's just the standard things you need to do. Replace heating and air conditioning units, parking lot maintenance, put a second entrance in where our gravel lot is. So the list is long. One option is to the golf course would move down a ways, and we would get the hole that borders the zoo, and that would become an Asian loop sometime in the future. And then finally, we would really like to figure out how to put filtration in the sea lion pool.
Yeah, that'd probably help with the health of the seals and sea lions, yeah, as well as maybe
water
save
usage.
A little water.
That's
yeah.
right.
Yeah. What about conservation projects that you'd like to see happen here at Blank Park Zoo?
We would love to be able to scholarship more of our employees to go out into the world and work on a project that they are, really believe in. A giraffe keeper going to Nambia and helping tag giraffes. Our lead supervisor for rhinos going to Uganda and helping the Ugandans start a park where they can protect rhinos. We have people that just want to go to Guatemala and work with the rainforest species in Guatemala. We think that the more we get out and help, the more passionate people become and the more they can tell their story when they get back. So we really like to do a lot more of that. Locally in Iowa, we would love to be part of the water quality issue and how we make all Iowans have clean water without hurting people's livelihoods. We also believe that if we could do away with lead shot at some point in time, that would be a wonderful thing based on the number of birds of prey that are die from lead poisoning, trumpeter swans dying from lead poisoning. And that could be a 3 or 4 year effort to convince people that's the right thing to do. So we always have something we can help politically with our huge audience. We want to educate people about what's happening. You know, the Sahara Desert's, because of the heating of the climate, is moving south and enlarging 3, 4, 5, 6 miles a year, and that's getting into the Serengeti, and the Serengeti is getting drier because of lack of water, and the giraffe are having trouble finding places to eat, and so their population has dropped dramatically. And can we use our, can we be conservation educators and do a better job of telling the public what's going on so people would think, maybe I need to change my behaviors? Sea lions on the West Coast, the water's getting so warm that when a sea lion goes out to feed after she's nursed her young, it takes her so long to get back that the sea lions are either starving to death or becoming dehydrated. And last year, the Forest Service rescued 3,500 animals, got to replace a large part of them back into the wild. The ones that don't come to zoos, all our population of sea lions are rescue animals that would have not lived if they wouldn't have been rescued. And so education, using our facility, our animals, and our people to educate the community of what's going on in the world.
Final question. What is the most surprising thing you've learned or experienced while being here at Blank Park Zoo?
Zoo's major reason for existing in the 21st century is not for recreation. It's for preserving the wildlife of the world, either by having the species in captivity where you can keep that genetic stream alive, or educating the public, or putting dollars back into it. And when I was a private sector guy that was in business, and when I took the job, I thought the most important thing to do was figure out how to get more people to come in. That's still really important, because every time we have another person come in that buys something at the gift shop, feeds a giraffe, pays for a ticket, if we're very careful in how we spend money, that gives us more money and time to get that conservation message out. And so I didn't realize how important zoos were from conservation and endangered species. I thought it was just a great place to bring your 10-year-old on a weekend, and we're much more than that.
Thanks so much, Mark.
Thank you very much.
And thank you for joining us today. And if you want to learn more about Blank Park Zoo, head over to our website, blankparkzoo.com. And we'll see you next time on Saving Animals with Blank Park Zoo.